Okay. What's today? Wednesday, September the 5th, 2018. We're going to discuss the Shemona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. So I mentioned yesterday that 2 days ago that davening has to have a biblical precedent. That was our shir yesterday, basically, that we have 9 blessings in the Shemona Esrei, Malchiyot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. And we also have the blessing for the holy, the Kedush HaRayom. We have to combine two because we only have 9 blessings. So I'm going to, the Avud Raham, who was one of the major commentaries on the Siddur, who lived in Spain, with his commentaries available. It's actually in pretty simple Hebrew. And the Avud Raham's basic thesis is that every one of our tefillot originates in a pasuk in Tanakh. And what he does in his parish is he sort of shows that this phrase is this pasuk. So it's just, and it's really based on this idea that prayer has a biblical precedent. So if we're going to start, ubechein tein pachtecha. Now, I skipped a little bit because I didn't even realize it. I'm doing from a Nusach Ashkenaz Siddur, right? I think Nusach Sfarad says something before that. I forget already. So now, what does ubechein mean? Ubechein tein pachtecha. How do they translate? And so he quotes, I'm using here the Siddur Otsar Tfilot, a very interesting commentary on the Siddur. Anyway, he says like this. So this is a reference to the Pasuk in Megillat Esther. Ubechein avo al melech asher lo kedat. Ubechein. And therefore I will go to the king asher lo kedat, against the law. Basically, I mentioned yesterday, this is the remnant of the Malchiyot of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. There were 2 versions of Malchiyot. The version of Rabbi Akiva that begins with Aleinu, that we say in the middle of the Shemona Esrei as part of after HaMelech HaKadosh. And then there's the version of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri felt all of Malchiyot should be said before you say the Bracha HaMelech HaKadosh. We do not do that. It makes a lot of sense. Malchiyot HaMelech HaKadosh, but we say B'chein Tein Pachtecha. So his Malchiyot is beginning with the notion that approaching God is basically forbidden. By what right do we have to approach? Ubechein avol amalech asher lo kadat. Okay, ubechein tein pachtecha asher mokecha. So we come to God just like Esther didn't know if Ahasuerus would lend out the sword or hit kill her. So that's the approach we have to have in Yom Kippur. And by the way, this approach, there's a machloket, how the shape of the shofar is supposed to be on Rosh Hashanah. Right, so there, one opinion is the shofar is supposed to be all squeaky. I don't know why here there's some minhag. I really don't understand that. Asking.
There was a declaration.
I know why somehow Rabbi there was that not to use. Usually they leave it up to the Baal Tokeah. I mean, usually shuls leave it up to Baal Tokeah.
Because in Israel, Nisach Sfar and Ashkenaz.
I don't know, but what do I know?
If you go to buy a shofar in the shuk,
right?
The first thing they'll ask you is, are you Ashkenaz or Sfar?
Yeah, so I don't. In the Mishnah, before Ashkenaz and Sfarad, the Mishnah presents both opinions. The opinion that the shofar is bent is a much more serious opinion. In other words, that our mood on Rosh Hashanah, we're bent over, how can we approach God? We're nobody. The pressure of God makes us hunchback. The idea that the shofar is pashut, is just the one thing up, that's a much more erect shofar. And that's exactly how it's explained, what the mood is supposed to be on Rosh Hashanah. That ties into a further machloket or a further idea that I mentioned yesterday. We do not say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why not? Because the Gemara says, the Sifrei Chaim Umeitim Petuchim Lefanav, the Book of Life and Death is open. It's not a time for singing. But the Rambam writes, or the Tur writes, I forget who, that Rosh Hashanah is not a time of Simcha Yeterah. There is Simcha. So the mood of Rosh Hashanah is very uncertain. On the one hand, we're nervous. On the other hand, you have to go home and have a suud that's a yontif. And we have, in a sense, we go back and forth. So here, when we say b'chein tein pachtecha, we're starting with the very serious news. Okay. Pachad Hashem alkecha al kol masecha, ve'eimatcha al kol masha barata. So what's the difference between masecha and barata? I don't know if this is. The way he explains is, kol masecha are the Jewish people. That's like masecha represents who God made. Al kol mashe barata, that's a reference to the entire world. So we ask God to put pachad al kol masecha on all the Jewish people and ema on the whole world.
Ema is stronger though, right?
So that's the question. Is I mentioned yesterday, pachad is stronger. Soloveitchik felt like pachad is a more visceral fear, like you're afraid for your life. Ema is more awe, but not everybody agrees with that understanding. The way he's explaining here is pachad. Pachad means the people who are close, and ema means people are far. What does that mean? If you feel the presence of God, in other words, when you approach God, there's much more fear. Oh my gosh! Like you know, when you go to a king's palace, there's a sense of nervousness. So pachad is the fear of the people who are close, and ema is the people who are far. If you take it that way, it's a sort of a very particular Jewish idea that we should put the pachad, the Jewish people in a sense are closer. Rosh Hashanah is a Jewish holiday, so the pachad is on Masecha. The Ema.
Rosh Hashanah is also a universal holiday.
Right, it's both. That's what we say. Like Pachad al Masech is the Jewish people. Ema al Kol Mashabrat is the non-Jewish people. But why one time is Pachad and one time is Ema? That's all I'm explaining. Because Pachad is for people who are closer, who experience God much closer, it leaves greater fear. In the sense that we're saying the Jewish people and Rosh Hashanah are experiencing God on a closer way than the non-Jewish world has experienced God. But it refers to both, Jews and non-people. But Yishtachavu Lecha Kol HaBruyim, it's also the idea of the entire world. All those who were created will bow down. The Yesod Kulam Agudachad, who's that referring to? The Yesod Kulam Agudachad. So that's a reference to the Jewish people. In other words, basically we're going back and forth between that God's power and awe and fear should be felt by Jews and non-Jews in different aspects. And all of us should become like agudachad. So that we had last week worship. And the Gemara has the expression, lo tasu agudot agudot. You're not allowed to factionalize. That's what an aguda means. So v'chulam skulam achad lasot ritzoncha b'leivav shalem. So what does it mean, lasot ritzoncha b'leivav shalem? So it's very interesting. So he explains b'leivav shalem to means not out of fear. We just pray, we're asking God that we should be afraid of you. Pachad, Ema, Yira. Okay? And then we say, but we should worship you not out of fear. We should worship you out of love. Lasot ritzoncha b'leivav shalem, with a pure heart, not a heart that is trembling. And then some say, b'leivav shalem, ritzoncha means with both your Yetzer HaTov and your Yetzer HaRa. We know in Judaism there is no such thing that only has a negative use. Everything can be used in a positive spin. It all depends how you use it. We say al chetcha chatana v'levanacha b'yetzer tov. Right. But there's also a chet b'yetzer hatov. We can sin with the yetzer hatov. We also can sin, but the yetzer hara, the same way the yetzer hara can be used for sinning, the yetzer hara can be used to do mitzvot. The simple way, I mean, what the Gemara says already, is our yetzer hara for money helps the economy grow. If people didn't have a desire to make money, they wouldn't. That's how capitalism works. But that's what Gemara says. Gemara says that people didn't have the Yetzer Hara, a sexual Yetzer Hara, they wouldn't have any kids. Who would get married? Who needs it? So that, in other words, you need to have a Yetzer Hara. You just have to channel the Yetzer Hara in the right way. Okay. Okay. The king is the ruler, the Shaltan, the ruler. Okay. So after we go through the pacha that we're supposed to have, so then the machzor continues. So therefore, God give the Jewish people honor. If the Jewish people will demonstrate fear and awe, and the non-Jewish people, the whole world, see, we daven on Rosh Hashanah like for the whole world. How do we begin our zichronot? Zichronot begins by Noach. If you look in the Zichronot, it doesn't begin with Abraham, it begins with Noach. The universal theme of Rosh Hashanah. Atah Zocher Maaseh Olam. And the Psukim, we quote by Noach. Because that's very universal. It also has a particular theme. As a matter of fact, Soloveitchik really explains that's the Sefer Yonah. You know, on Russia, on Yom Kippur, the Matir and the Torah leading are really the opposite. We read about the sexual prohibitions. It's a very unique idea. The Kedushat Yisrael, it's a very Jewish parsha. And then we read about Sefer Yonah, a very universal idea. And really, what the Rav explains is Yom Kippur is very Jewish focused. We're talking about our tshuva and our repentance. And then as the day ends, we move into sort of a more universal look by Sefer Yonah. And that really gets us in the holiday of Sukkot, which is a very universal holiday. So we begin the transition from the individual inward to the public on Yom Kippur. But here, we're still on Rosh Hashanah. So we're still on the theme of God is the Melech, and you fear a king. We'll get to in Avinu Malkeinu, we say God is not just the Melech, he's our father. But that's really a response, in a sense. We spend all of Rosh Hashanah morning and all of Rosh Hashanah day, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech. Everything is about Melech. Melech is Pachad, Yira, Ema, all these expressions. And then at the end of Shacharit, when we're finished, we say Avinu Malkeinu. That's a very, very positive sense. Who's the founder, who started Avinu Malkeinu? Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva is the great optimist of the Jewish people. Rabbi Akiva always saw the optimistic side. He was the one, the last Mishnah in Yuma, when he says, Jewish people, if Nehemi Atem Yitron, you're very happy, it's God who makes you pure. Rabbi Akiva lived through the destruction of the temple. What's the average person Jew going to think? Without the temple ritual, we can't get any atonement. So Rabbi Akiva, and he sees the foxes in the temple, and then he's laughing. Rabbi Akiva is always, he's being killed, and he's smiling, saying, Rabbi Akiva is the eternal optimist of the Jewish people. So it's Rabbi Akiva who can introduce Avinu Malkeinu, because the rest of the theme of Rosh Hashanah is Malkeinu, and Malkeinu has a very powerful, awe-inspiring theme. Our shofar is bent. But if we can do that, then we should have Tikvah. So in the couple minutes I have left, maybe I'll just discuss one interesting idea. So we say, everybody, Simcha li arsecha v'sason li recha. It's beautiful. The 100 people singing it. What's the difference between Simcha and Sason? Simcha l'artsecha, Simcha to the nation, Sason to the city. What's the difference? So the true matter is, it's hard to know. And I looked, and different Mepharshim have different things, and nobody knows 100%. Maybe it's just an expression, but always, and the one who did the most in this is the Malbim, died about 120 years ago, whatever. The Malbim, if anybody ever read his commentary, he's very into this. What's the difference between Pachin? Yeah, explaining all the difference in words. So what's the difference between Sason and Simcha? So what he explains is Simcha is internal. Simcha is Usmachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. When you're in the presence of God, it brings joy. That's an internal feeling. I feel great. I'm in the presence of God. Simcha is how you're feeling inside. Sason is how you express your joy. Expressing your joy, dancing, singing. But this Sason is the reflection of the Simcha. That's one. I heard many, many years ago, I believe from Rav Avior, he was the Rosh Yeshiva here,
yeah.
35 years ago.
Yeah.
But I heard Rav Avior once give a Dvar Torah, and he said the difference between Simcha and Sason is Simcha's pure joy. Sason is joy tinged with happiness. Like he was talking about on the state of Israel.
I'm sorry.
In other words, when you celebrate a Yom HaTzma'ut, we're very happy, but you know, we're sad too. All the tragedy. Simcha is pure joy, and Sason is when you have. And we pray for Sason, but we want Simcha too. Sason and Simcha. Simcha l'artz, according to that, I think it makes sense. Simcha l'artzecha. On the nation, you can have Simcha. Ear is more localized. You get to know a little bit more of the internet. Always localized, there's always more problems. Looking abstract, Israel, 7 years old, amazing, pure Simcha. When you get down to the day-to-day, it's a little bit. But anyways, that's why the difference between Sus and Simcha. Okay, I don't want to go over time, so we'll stop. And Yerush Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow night.